Welcome back to the Food Trainers Podcast. Whether you're a first-time listener or a regular, we're so happy you're joining us. Today, we are unpacking snacking. Woohoo! So we're going to cover whether or not you should snack, which obviously we're doing a whole podcast on it, so we're not going to say don't snack, bye. But we will cover how often you should snack, snacking pitfalls, troubleshooting, and finally, our personal favorite things to snack on. So,
yeah, and we always get the question, like, do we need a snack? As Carolyn said, you know, we're hint, yeah, we are snack advocates. The only time you can get away with not snacking or successfully get away with not snacking is if your eating is really condensed, like intermittent fasting, which is popular now. We even have a program called our Squeeze program, which is a one-week program. It's not how our clients generally eat, where we condense the hours. So clients or participants are eating at a later breakfast around 10 and an early dinner around 6. So they have about 8 hours of total eating, and you can get away without having a major snack event. But for most people, like us, there's a big gap between when you have your lunch and when you have dinner after work, et cetera. And so we definitely believe in a mid-afternoon snack. And I think that, you know, just snacking in general, I was thinking about this topic, gets a bad name. Most people, I think, are thinking of things like goldfish crackers or cookies, you know, more like kid snacks. So all snacks are not created equal, but snacking in itself is just a pit stop between meals. So we suggest a mid-afternoon snack. Lots of clients want, what do I do after dinner? So if you want something after dinner, it just shouldn't be major. So that would be something like a little bit of fruit. So one snack most people can do well with, two snacks max. You only really need more than that or more frequency if you're a pregnant woman or if you're, let's say, a growing teenager, I guess, or both.
Hopefully not both. But yeah, so like Lauren's saying, you really do want to get most of your nourishment from meals. And it's interesting, actually, personally, I used to be the exact opposite. I used to be what I would call a snackitarian. This is an issue when snacks fully replace meals and you like to sort of throw all of the snacks together. The thing is that this eating snacks for meals does not work for your weight, for your mood, or even for just like general satisfaction. I'd always be searching for something more. And you can really also get a whole day's worth of calories over the course of a week just from your snacks. And I know I definitely used to. So let's chat about some snacking pitfalls, starting with snack spacing. And something Lauren always says that I love, and probably every client ever has heard me, and if not you too, say this, is that when you eat is as important as what you eat. And so this is so important for snacking too. The when is really, really important. And there's a difference between a mid-afternoon snack and having, like, say, a lunch dessert. Mm-hmm. Not that anyone really needs like a lunch dessert, but a little sweet something is a whole other topic. The real point of a snack is to keep your energy and your blood sugar stable. And so we want at a minimum 2 hours after lunch. So at a minimum 2 hours and at a maximum 4 hours between your meals and snacks. So this means if lunch is around one, say lunch finishes around one, you want to have a snack between 4 and 5 p.m. And if you're hungry sooner than that, generally to me, that's an indicator that you probably skimped a little bit on your lunch.
Yeah. And I think even if you nail the spacing that Carolyn just said, you're doing a great job. You know, that's sort of, it's such a big one in terms of when you have it. So putting in that spacing and not going so long that you're, you know, sort of ready to eat.
Ravenous. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes people have clients set alarms for themselves too. Like, it's now snack time. You deserve to take like a 5 minute break. So in terms further along on the timing of things, a lot of times clients report grazing nonstop. You have a snack at 2 and then at 3 and then at 4. And snacking really shouldn't be hourly, even if you're making healthy choices. We've talked about this in the past, but sort of for your digestive check too, you really need a little bit of digestive rest in between meals and snacks. You need a minimum of, again, 2 hours. Sorry to get really numbery today. But the solution is really having one specific snack time, like I said, between that 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock time. It really should, you know, take separate yourself from your work or whatever it is that you're doing at that time and have a sit down snack. And if you're feeling snacky beyond that too, if that's just not enough, we'll talk about what the specific recommendations are. But this is where sort of sippable snacks come into play too. If you are sitting around, you know, an herbal tea, a green tea, matcha latte.
Just sort of when you want something more, but you don't want to have a second and a third and a fourth snack.
Exactly.
Sort of stave it off a little bit.
A tea prescription is what I like to think of it as, yeah.
And the teas have benefits too. So Carolyn talked about when you should snack, a little bit of waiting time, but not too much. And then in terms of how to snack or what you should have at snack time, there's something that we're very scientific, the poo-poo platter syndrome. So the poo-poo platter syndrome would be somebody who's like, okay, Carolyn said I should have a snack between 3 and 4. I'm going to have some crackers and some cheese and a cut-up apple and some nuts, which you know, isn't really that much, all things we approve of. But the more taste that you have, the more you're going to eat. It's like what happens at a buffet. So you want to keep your snack to one item or two items max. Mm-hmm. It could be having some healthy crackers. It could be having an apple with almond butter. And the other thing that you want is you want to kind of predetermine your options. So we have an exercise. It's kind of fun. We do with clients. We think it's fun.
An ultimate nutrition nerd thing to say.
It's called our pre-snactual agreement. So what will happen is, you know, we have an online store with snacks and clients will see protein bars and nuts and crackers and a lot of things that we'll get to in a little while. And then they'll sort of not know what to do at snack time. You want to keep it super simple. So the pre-snactual would be...
Like your prenup.
Yeah, exactly. More important. No, yeah. Just kidding. I'm going, these are my two snacks for the week. And you sign on the dotted line. And then you have a lot of clarity and simplicity with what you're having.
Yeah. And so planning really, really tends to work. And you know, we talk a lot about planning. It just makes your decisions so much more clear when it comes to that time. But another issue, of course, is going to be portion. A lot of times we see people are eating the right foods, but maybe in a massive quantity. So no reaching your hands into Costco size cashews or bags of popcorn or chips or anything. We really suggest going in with pre-portioned or, you know, single serve snacks like we have in our shop. Like on, if you go to our website, foodtrainers.com, you can click on shop and you can sort of browse all the single servings we have there. Another great solution that we have there is our nut case. So it's like an Altoid size container and you can fit 20 almonds in it, sort of the perfect carry around case, gives you a portion. And, you know, we also suggest portioning things out immediately if you do have larger sort of
that's a
quantities. Good one. Yeah, doing it right away and getting, you know, whether it's Ziploc bag or those little, you know, glass containers or something to portion things out immediately. If that's a tricky one for you, it can really...
So that you're not, we always say you don't want to make these, you know, food decisions when you're hungry, tired, all these things happen mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
So to have it, you know, just like you would pack a kid's lunch, to have it ready to go and grab and go would be what we suggest.
Yeah. Yeah. And also move away from the jar too. Don't sit in front of someone with a candy bowl or whatever that the situation is. You don't want to be...
You don't want to sit in front of the water pitcher, things you want to do more of in the water cooler. Don't, you know, it's like the cookie jar thing. If it's there and you see it, you're going to go back. So another really important one that we come across all the time are free snacks. Free snacks, you know, sort of at meetings, free snacks at work, free snacks at the grocery store. You don't want to eat things just because they're free or just because they're offered.
And it's mind-blowing for so many clients.
Yeah. And we don't even realize like that chord that's being struck. So more often than not, what's the free items are not really what you should be eating and they can leave you feeling guilty or bloated, which we talked about in a different podcast. There's a fantastic article on in New York Magazine. It was published on The Cut. And it said, the title was, Why Do We Turn Into Snack Maniacs at Work? Should I read a little bit of it?
Please, please, please. Yeah.
So I have to get the author's name. We'll put it in our show notes. But she says, there was a time at an old job of mine when snack options were so plentiful, they required their own room, a closet filled with plastic freshness preserving bins, like the kind the rich people I nannied for as a teenager had, full of cereals and goldfish and wasabi peas and peanut butter pretzels. We also had a froyo machine complete with a toppings bar. And on the first Tuesday of every month, we had birthday treats for any and all employees with a birthday of the month. We're laughing, but this is like what happens all the time. Cupcakes, donuts, giant gooey cookies. While working there, I had made enough money to eat as much as I needed and then some, as did most of, if not all of my coworkers. And yet, when the birthday treats were announced or new froyo flavor debuted, we rushed to the kitchens and pantries like starving children.
It's so relatable.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's just, I think we snack because we're bored. It's like a little sneaky on the part of companies. They know that people, you know, sort of it raises morale when there are snacks. Oh. And it's like the whole, I used to do stuff at Bloomberg and I think we're one of the first that had this like beautiful pantry and every snack, you know, that we recommended at Food Trainers. And it was, you know, sort of, this is so kind of them to do, but you also will leave less and take fewer breaks when you have the food supplied. So there's definitely usually a hidden agenda and you don't want to fall prey with that. The solution is really to bring your own. I mean, how often are like the birthday treats at work, et cetera, really that good? So when it comes to free snacks, you really want to just say no. It's easier probably to have a hard and fast rule than it is to moderate, negotiate with yourself. when you're bored or tired. And BYO, you know, always, we're not saying don't have it. We're saying have, you know, the protein bar instead of the cookie.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was even a study recently that showed that eating office snacks added something like 1,500 extra calories to a weekly diet. So like I said earlier, it really is like an extra full day's worth of food if you're not careful. So just something
to
note.
And we can all kid ourselves.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
A little bit of this. I mean, and we do that. I mean, I couldn't be guilty of doing that with healthy snacks too. But as soon as you rein it in and, you know, sort of commit to two snacks, like Lauren talked about earlier with the pre-snack show, it can really help. So let's talk about the fun part. Our favorite snacks. So
we're going to go first.
I'd love to. Okay. So my go-to when I'm at home is definitely we have these insane East Hampton Gourmet. They're lentil rice crisp breads, actually. And they're really, really thin, yummy crisp breads. It gives a little crunch and I top them.
Check out Carolyn's Instagram. She makes them really pretty.
Most of the time I just like shove them in. But, you know, sometimes I add some smoked salmon or we also have this really, really good beet or cashew butter in the office too. That's really good.
Sweet or savory.
So good. And then if I need a bar on the run, Yes Bars are my go-to or favorite of the bars. They have super clean ingredients for a bar. And you probably know, or you might not know, but there are not a ton of bars that we endorse. With bars in general, you want to look for single digits for sugar.
Fewer than 10.
Yes, exactly. And then there are these brand new rosemary maple sea salt almonds, which are delicious.
Sitting on the table here.
Can't stop. They're by a brand called Nuts Plus Nuts. We have them on our shop website too. And once you have these, the thing is that you probably won't ever go back to
blend. But I think some people think like, oh, nuts, they're so boring, but there's so many delicious ones out there. These, I think, are the most delicious.
Totally. And then another one for me is Siggy or Greek yogurt, like a 2% or a triple cream, yum, with a little bit of cocoa chia. So for me, really working the angle of real food at snack time helps so much. I can definitely get that poo-poo platter syndrome Lauren mentioned. So I try to go more meal-esque when I can.
And what if you wanted a treat, what would you do?
Oh my gosh, the Eat Chic. Oh my gosh, they're peanut butter cups that are like single serve. They're delicious. The matcha.
Confession, when they first came in, Carolyn and I had them for breakfast, which is not what we suggest.
Airing all our dirty laundry on this podcast. So good. Okay, what about you? Tell me your favorite snacks.
So I'm definitely, I think I lean more savory, salty sweet often, but you know, I think especially on a work day, I feel more satisfied with something that's savory. I like love jerky to like an insane degree, which kind of makes me a beast. It's such like a bro snack.
It is, but we found the best.
We have Vermont Smoke. We have these turkey pepperoni sticks. I tend to like a stick more than like the reach into the bag of meat.
It's like you can throw away the evidence more quickly.
I don't know. I have limits. It's just, you know, it's a good size. Kind of reminds me of pepperoni pizza, which was... when Carolyn was a snackitarian, I was a pizzatarian.
Yes.
So I love jerky. Our nut case that Carolyn mentioned, I like to fill it sometimes with Brazil nuts. Brazil nuts are high in selenium. They're a great, you know, thyroid supporting food. You don't need that many of them. And we have walnuts. Walnuts are the only nuts that give you those good omega-3 fats. And we have a company called Old Dog Ranch, and they do these maple walnuts that are ridiculous. It's fortunate that we can't keep them in stock because we can't eat too many. I also love like chip and crunch. Lately, we've been doing a lot of plantain chips. Plantains are a prebiotic food. Mm-hmm. So they're actually feeding your probiotics. They're very good for gut health. I love those. I love the Siete chips and from getting specific, lime or ranch.
You know, ranch girl,
jerky ranch. A little bit trashy snacks, but... I'm sure some of you are with me. Cauliflower puffs, those are another good one. A company called Vegan Robs, we used to have them. They make a lot of good chippy snacks. Crudité works. I tend to try to have veggies cut in advance or do something like radishes that just need a quick wash. I posted this week, I love this Bon Appetit. I think they called it their fiery tahini. It's basically a spiced up, herbed up tahini, parsley, jalapenos, lemon, like everything I love, but I've been dipping everything into it this week.
So good.
Really good. Good to have like a homemade dip in the house. It makes snacking on veggies more exciting. And I'm a cheese girl, always will be. Yeah. You know, it's like I always say I could never be vegan for a million reasons, but also especially because of cheese. I like really good cheese, but If any of you were previously or currently Laughing Cow people or Baby Bell people, or just like something you can throw in your bag. We do like organic string cheeses, but I love, love, love Kerrygold makes, they're little triangles like the Laughing Cow, but they're a grass-fed, they call it their Dubliner cheese. Mm-hmm. They usually have them at Whole Foods. You can look them up online as well. But that's like my current lineup.
That's so good. And you know what, actually, I noticed as you're going through this is you're such a savory person. And that's actually something really beneficial for clients. If you find that you go for sweet all the time, try to switch it and go for savory snack always. That can sort of or switch your taste buds.
Absolutely. Like do maybe a week of savory snacks or something like that.
Yeah. So snack time is really one of the only places we talk about calories, just to give you a little bit of a guideline for it. Or a lot of times because people are skimping on it and they'll have like 100 calorie pack of popcorn. Hopefully we've moved away from those.
Yeah.
But that's just not enough food for most of us. So around 200 is a good rule of thumb. And don't drive yourself insane over that number.
Maybe a little more, a little less. Mm-hmm. Yes, bars I think are a little bit more than that.
Yeah. And most importantly, of course, over any number that you're going to find is the ingredients. So please read through those first. And
I can't tell you how often, even us talking about this all day, that I'll have something that I've purchased like a couple of times because I know the company is good or because it's organic or like haven't done my due diligence. And then I'm like, wait, that has caramel coloring or something like that. So really simple ingredients. You'll see like even the plantain chips we just started carrying there. Plantains, olive oil, salt, like everything you know. The Yes Bar is the same. So I agree with you with that. I think also just another, you talked about sweet and savory, packaged, unpackaged.
Mm-hmm.
So like bars are super yummy and chips are yummy, et cetera. But what we see that on a client's food journal, we'll often say, you know, have a few days of what we call unsnacky snacks or unpackaged snacks. So that would be the crudité, or a nut, or a fruit and a nut butter, something that's, you know, just not processed, but a little more simple.
My friend Abby, Abby's Food Cart calls it snacking naked.
Okay, good.
So no clothes on your snack. This is making me hungry. I hope you have some of that dip in your fridge. For all the snacks we discussed, go check out our website, foodtrainers.com, and click on the shop and subscribe. Pass along the podcast to anyone who loves snack time.
Yeah, and if you don't, like who doesn't?
Who doesn't love snack time? Yeah, get your snack on. Okay. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Bye.